This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. NASA officials are minimizing the possibility that a piece of foam insulation dislodged during liftoff was the primary cause of Saturday's Columbia disaster. At briefings yesterday, officials said they are strongly pursuing other leads, looking for a missing link to explain the disintegration of the space shuttle as it re-entered the Earth's atmosphere. NPR's Richard Harris reports.
The news media have largely latched onto the theory that a piece of foam insulation fell off a strut connecting the space shuttle to its external fuel tank, and that did devastating damage to the shuttle's ceramic heat-shielding tiles. Yesterday, NASA official Ron Dittamore brought a chunk of this foam to a press briefing to make a point. It's about as light and insignificant as styrofoam, and NASA's analyses have repeatedly shown that it doesn't have the heft to do serious damage. Dittamore also showed a photographic comparison of the shuttle's left wing before and after the foam hit. He admitted that the image wasn't as sharp as he'd like.
But it does show that as you look at it, both before and after impact, there really is no gross, large areas of damage.
There was no deep gouge, no white gap, just black tiles. Dittamore also dismissed speculation that the chunk of foam could have been coated or filled with ice, making the debris heavier and more damaging. Ice teams made a detailed survey of the external tank before liftoff, as they always do, and found no hazard. And he said that the foam is not porous, so it couldn't possibly soak up water. The media's obsession with falling foam just doesn't add up, he told reporters.
And as you focus your attention on the debris, we're focusing our attention on what we didn't see. Right now, it just does not make sense to us that a piece of debris would be the root cause for the loss of Columbia and its crew. There's got to be another reason.
To figure out what, NASA is focusing on many areas. For example, engineers are doing a careful study of the overheating noticed inside the left wing and along the left flank of the shuttle. They plan to pinpoint where a single source of heat would have had to be to create a pattern of heating they observed. They also hope to review an additional 32 seconds of data transmitted after the point that voice communications were lost. That data may provide important information about the fatal sequence of events. NASA is also hopeful that the wreckage on the ground will provide clues about what failed and when. Search teams have already recovered some large parts of the shuttle, including part of the nose cone in an East Texas forest, but they're most interested in debris that fell to the west, so there's an intensive effort in Arizona and California. Any debris found there would have fallen from the shuttle early in its descent and is likely to show where the trouble began. NASA is getting help from members of the public who have been finding strange things in their neighborhoods. For example, Alex Peabody, a lifeguard near Santa Cruz, California, found a singed 15-inch long octagonal cylinder on his beach.
I looked at it and thought, oh, well, maybe it's part of the molding of an aluminum window. But it didn't look like that. I'm not a metallurgist, and I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm a lifeguard.
So he called the authorities, who dutifully hauled it away for closer inspection. Also in California, an amateur astronomer said he had taken a photograph that shows a mysterious purple streak seemingly striking the craft. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, that photograph and the camera itself were hustled off to Houston in a NASA jet for closer analysis. NASA plans to compile all the photographs and the other clues as it carefully pieces together the mystery of Columbia's destruction. Richard Harris, NPR News, Washington.